are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are and wherever you happen to be all around this gorgeous planet we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. If you're joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. And be sure that you go over to kevinsmithshow.com. That's my website. Be sure you go over and subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. Now, we've redesigned the look of that main page. It's got all the same stuff it used to have, but we've redesigned the look and made it more readable. I know that some of you, like me, are not spring chickens, and I know that that little tiny print was hard to read, so it is a little bit easier for folks to read now, but it is also much easier to navigate because I kind of organized the jumble of information that was on there, and so now it's a little bit easier to get around, okay? Anyway, go over there and subscribe to the K-Files e-zine. You'll see it as soon as the page opens, big red letters over on the right now. It used to be right in the center. It's on the right. And be sure you subscribe. And you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. It's truly, absolutely free, no strings attached. That is a guarantee. Absolutely true. You know, last night was kind of an interesting night. We had Dick Criswell as the guest. And during the show, in fact, I guess it was our first caller when we opened up the phone lines, was Kevin from Canada. And he said, I'm watching a UFO as I speak to you. And he described it to us. During the show, Dick Criswell, who is the director of the International Paranormal UFO Society, which is a group that investigates all these kinds of things, was receiving reports. During the show, he was receiving reports in his email from all over Florida and along the East Coast of people who were seeing these giant triangular UFOs. And so what happens? Well, there was a power outage. And as Dick said, you know, that usually when you have a big wave of sightings like that, you end up having a blackout, a power outage. Well, it happened. And I found it pretty interesting. I have read what the newspapers are saying, what the mainstream media is saying about this power outage. And they said that it was an equipment malfunction in a substation near Miami that disabled two power distribution lines between Miami and Daytona Beach. Anyway, it caused the Florida Power and Light's Turkey Point nuclear plant south of Miami to stop operating around 1 p.m. It shut itself down. The safety mechanism shut it down. And so there was a blackout. What's interesting about all of this is that the utility says that they're trying to determine what caused the equipment failure and a fire at a substation that led to the outage. The company said, and I quote, such equipment failure should not have caused the widespread blackouts. So something caused an equipment failure rather mysteriously and a fire, which cascaded into widespread blackouts and the shutdown of a nuclear power plant. And they're saying, you know what? It should not have done all that. Makes one raise an eyebrow or two, does it not? We'll be back.
Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays. Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel AllStar with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Wow, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hair dryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments, so click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website, or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
I'll be there in the morning light.
My guest this evening is Janice Fadley, and Janice is quite an amazing individual. I first came into contact with her, or first came to know about her, from an article that she wrote and that was published on the web. And we're going to be talking about that and some more things tonight. I sent her an email and asked if she would be willing to come on the show and personally share with you the story behind that article. And she very graciously said that she would. And let me welcome Janice Fadley. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
I'm very glad to be here.
Janice, this article that we're going to discuss is really... it represents only one of many strange and paranormal events that you have experienced in your life, and we'll get into some of those other things, but there's more to you than just having strange events happen. You're sort of an overachiever, are you not?
did you ever guess?
Well, I read your biographical information, and you're the first woman to, since World War II, to work as an operator in a steam-powered power plant, and the first woman ever to be an assistant control operator for a power plant. You had the first all-female carpenter crew in Florida. You designed houses for HUD and FHA, and one of your models was used exclusively as the model for a particular grant, building housing for the elderly. You have been sort of out on the leading edge of things for a long time, and in addition to that, I happen to know, because I talked to your son today, that you're a mom.
Yeah.
Kind of a busy life, isn't it?
My life has always been busy and always unusual.
Uh-huh.
And I never planned on being the first at the power plant. I just picked the picture because it was pretty. I ended up on the top five operators that they had. They were actually grooming me to take over as superintendent of the power plant.
Power plants are kind of in the news right now. I don't know if you heard the opening remarks I made during the first 5 minutes of the show, but in Florida, there was yesterday and last night a wave of UFO sightings, and then there was a power blackout in the Miami area. Sort of a cascading effect that caused a nuclear power plant to shut itself down. All of its safety routines kicked in, and it shut itself down. Were you ever involved in any kind of an incident like that where strange things happened?
And not in a power plant.
Yeah. You were, though, in a bookstore.
Oh, heavens, yes.
How old were you when this incident happened in the bookstore?
I was about 24.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 59 now.
All right. Take us back. You know, I've titled this show, The Man Who Wasn't There. And I think that is the title of your article. It was, if not, it's very close to the title, but take us back to the bookstore. Where was the bookstore? Who were you with? What were you up to, and what happened?
Okay, after I got off work at the power plant, one of my favorite places to go was Fritzy's Occult Bookstore. It's downtown, it was downtown San Francisco, on the second floor. It's been out of business for 20 years that I know of. It was the best occult bookstore I'd ever come across. I've been going there for maybe about 2 years, so I knew the owner, and I knew most of the people that worked there. And I went in this one night with my mother, and for some reason, there was this old man there, and we started talking. And we was just assumed that he worked there because he kept bringing books out of the back room. And, oh, wow. Well, anyway, we started talking. He was behind the counter, and we was talking about the occult, about hermetics, Kabbalah, how to decipher the Bible. I mean, he covered almost every paranormal occurrence that could possibly happen. And then whenever he wanted to clarify anything, he'd go into the back room and bring out a huge book, not always the same one. And they had really intricate designs on the outside, and the pages on the inside had an old-fashioned script. And then after...
Do you recall the title of this book?
There was about four or five books that he brought out, if not more.
Uh-huh. Do you recall any of the titles?
One was a Bible, and one... I'm really not sure. I really didn't pay attention to the titles. I was too busy listening to him.
Uh-huh. Okay, so he would bring the books out and I guess open them and read parts out of the book?
And he'd also let me read parts of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't buy the books because they were his books. So that was, and it was like they're out of print, and so there's no chance of getting them.
Uh-huh.
It was really a big disappointment. So after he showed us the books and put them all back, he took me and my mother, because my mother was right beside me all the time. She was asking him questions, and I was asking him questions. And we talked to him for 2 hours before we even started going around the bookstore picking out books. And so he took us through the entire bookstore, which is a huge bookstore.
Now, were there other people in there?
Yes, there was a lot of people in there.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was behind the counter, Fritzy, the owner, would come and stand beside him and put and they do stuff on the till once you made a sale. They were elbow to elbow. So there's no way she could have missed him.
Okay. And so you were in there for how long?
Probably about 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. And during that 3 hours, was most of the time spent talking with this man?
Yeah, those 3 hours of him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't talk to anybody else, and we didn't talk to anybody else.
Now, everything seemed normal, right?
Yeah, that's what made it so strange. We just assumed that Fritz had hired a new person to work in the store.
Mm-hmm. How old was this guy?
I would say he was in his 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And he had very little white hair, and he sort of kind of roly-poly.
A short and guy? Tall guy?
He was about 5'10".
Mm-hmm.
But he was a bit taller than me.
And after you were in there for about 3 hours, what happened?
Well, I spent about $200 on books that he'd pointed out to me. My mother spent about $100 on books. We went back to the register, and we both wrote checks. So the checks and the receipt. He got the check, I got the receipt. My mom gave him a check, I got a receipt.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went home, and I was really excited, to put it mildly, because, wow, all that knowledge. The next night I went back, my mom and I both went back, and we looked all over the store for him, and we couldn't find him. So I went and asked Fritzy, who's the owner, well, when's the old man going to work here again? She looked at me like I was nuts. What old man? I said, the old man that worked here last night. She said, there's no old man work here last night or any other night. She didn't hire men. And I said, well, I got the receipts here, and I got the checkbook. And I was like, she wouldn't even believe it was that.
Did you show her the receipts and the checkbook?
Yeah. And she said, that's not possible. Well, it must have been somebody else.
Well, and then what did you think when she said that?
It was like, oh, my God, he wasn't there. Because it was just like, I just knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was no one else, there was no one else work waited on us. He was the only one. And there was no way that Fritzy could miss him because she had stood right beside him. So when she said there was no one there, it was like, okay, but Fritzy, you were standing next to him. It's like, that's your imagination. It wasn't my imagination. She was elbow to elbow. It was probably about a 6-foot-long counter.
Mm-hmm.
And he was standing to about 2 foot, and she about 2 foot, and their elbows are probably actually touched a few times.
All right, now, when you got home, did you notice, was there any other strange phenomena? For instance, did you notice missing time, or was it later than you thought it should be?
No. Everything was perfectly normal, the way it was like an ordinary night going to the bookstore. Only time we found out it was unusual was when we went back the next night, and there was no record of that man ever working there.
What did your mom have to say about all that?
Well, considering what our lives were, like, oh, that's another incident.
So you just chalked it up as just another paranormal or weird incident, huh?
It was also the same time it was an incident that changed my life. That's because he put me on the path that I was to follow for the rest of my life from what he taught me.
who do you think this man was?
I have no idea. I have thought about that. He knew a lot. He knew everything. And I...
Did he seem to know you?
No. Just like, he just, for some reason, he just took a liking to him as we started talking.
Now, when you walked into the store, how did it come about that you and this man, you and your mom and this man, started talking? Did he come over to you and say, "Can I help you, ladies," or something like that? How did that happen?
I'm thinking. It's like we walked in and he was to the left of us, and for some reason we just started talking. Because I was always asking questions, and I might have asked about what would be a good book or something. I don't remember exactly what started the conversation. It's just like the conversation started, and he initiated it, and it was a long conversation.
All right, now, you say he initiated it. Do you remember how?
I don't know. It's like he might have just, I think it was like he come up and said hi or something like that.
Mm-hmm. How was this man dressed?
It was a white T-shirt, unbuttoned at the top. And I think he had gray slacks on.
Mm-hmm.
He was very casual.
And he looked very normal, is that right? I mean, he didn't look ghostly, right?
No, he looked like an ordinary person. You couldn't tell any difference. He was as real as you are.
Well, you don't know. I might be a disembodied voice sitting here, you know.
Well, he's as real as we were and everyone else in the store.
You know, this is not the first time that we've heard something similar to this, sort of similar, on this show. And it's one of the reasons that I was interested. Your story is interesting by itself, but one of the reasons I was interested in getting you to come tell us about it is because we have had recently on this show... Walter Bosley. He's a publisher. He's also a former FBI specialist in counterintelligence and also a former special agent for the Air Force Office of Special Investigations. And he had an incident that happened to him when he was a young man, when he was, I think, a teenager, and it happened out at the Magic Kingdom. It happened at Disneyland, and it involved the sudden appearance of an old man, and in this case, the old man was smoking a pipe and just sort of seemed to be taking in all the sights. It's a long story, but and I won't go into all of it now, but he has reason to believe that this guy was possibly from another time. Did this gentleman seem to be in sync with time here, or did he seem to be maybe from another time? For instance, were his clothes normal that you would see on anybody during that period of time when you met him?
It was completely dressed within our time.
Uh-huh.
White T-shirt, sleeves rolled up, top couple of buttons undone, and I think it was a gray slack or something like that.
Did you notice any tattoos or any marks or scars on this guy?
No. The only thing I really noticed is like he sort of had the sweetest feel to him. And I kept thinking he looked just like Santa Claus minus the hair.
Did he have a beard?
No, he has no beard, barely any white hair on his head. But there's just a feeling like he was as sweet as Santa Claus. If you ever met Santa Claus, that's what he would have felt like.
Uh-huh. Okay, now, what about jewelry? Was he wearing any kind of jewelry that you remember? Any?
No.
No amulets, no rings, no bracelets?
No, nothing.
Have you tried to figure out over the years, Janice, have you tried to figure out who this guy might be?
I have tried to figure it, but I don't even have a clue where to even begin looking.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of things happen that were where I've had talked to voices, but not that was the first. It's like the. It was just, I don't know. I never could figure it out.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, you've had some other paranormal events happen in your life, and after a little while here, we're going to open the telephone lines and allow people to call in. And the reason that I want people to call in is because I know that all across this country, and all across Canada, the UK, Australia, all across Africa, everywhere, all across Europe, everywhere this show is heard, there are people who have had strange encounters like this.
I know.
I'm not the only one. Yeah, you're not the only one. And one of the things, you know, Janice, one of the things that really bothers me when something strange happens, for instance, with UFOs, just as an example, people who have never had anything like that happen to them suddenly become afraid to talk about it because they're afraid people will think they're crazy or they're hallucinating. And one of the real problems I have with that is I don't understand who is it we're afraid of. I mean, for instance, Janice, you don't know me and I don't know you, other than the brief encounters we've had with email and one telephone call, right?
Yeah.
Okay. If you decide tonight that you think Kevin Smith is off his rocker, my response is so. And if I decide that you're off your rocker, your response should be
so.
So? What difference does it make? I think it's very important for people to realize that it is important for them to talk about what happened. Strange things do happen to all of us, and they're happening all the time, and we should not be afraid to talk about them. Would you agree with that?
Yes. It's really frustrating to be able to try and talk to someone, and they end up looking like your fruitcake.
Yeah. Of course, when that happens with me, and everybody's cut from a different bolt of cloth, I know we're not all the same, but when that happens with me and they're looking at me like I'm nuts, what's going through my mind is I may as well be talking to a sand pile. You know, this person is simply not clued in. They're not tuned in. They don't have a frame of reference to even understand 2 + 2 in my world. And that I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just saying that, you know, it's like water talking to oil. It just doesn't work sometimes.
I know.
It is important for people to communicate what's happened to them, though. Now, we've only got about a minute here, and then we're into a break. But let me ask you, did you and your mom tell anybody about all this?
Just as our close friends and family.
Okay.
And they just accept that as a fact because that's, for us, that's normal.
Mm-hmm. And so you, up until that time, you had had strange things happening.
I've had them happen since I was a little girl.
Uh-huh.
If that time I can tell you about when I was about 9 years old and a man's voice talked to me.
All right. We'll get into that when we come back from this next break. And I want to hear about some of those strange experiences that you've had. And folks, I know that all across the country, all across North America, all across our listening audience worldwide, many of you have had weird things happen. We want to share some of those tonight, all right? Here's a very brave lady doing that tonight, and you can too when we open the phone lines a little bit later. We'll be back right after this. My guest is Janice Fadley, and Janice, when we went away for break, you were about to tell us about some strange events that have happened other than this one particular event that we're talking about. But let me ask you a question before we get into those. Have you, in your life, have you ever seen anything in the sky that you would call a UFO, something you don't know what it is?
Which one?
Well, I don't know. I don't understand that question yet. Does that mean you've seen a lot?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And have you ever had any contact with them?
Other than ones shining a light on me when I flipped them off, no.
Other than what?
Well, they were not, didn't feel friendly, and the light was floating along probably about a mile from where we were, across from us, and I just, being my usual obnoxious self, I flipped it off. The thing stopped in midair and put a spotlight on us. I'm like, oh boy, I got them upset.
Okay, let's go back to 9 years old and what happened.
Okay, the light in my bedroom was on, and I was playing with my dolls. I was kneeling at the end of my bed, and my dolls were on the bed. And I was just doing what normal girls are going to, just play with their dolls. And this voice, man's voice, very pleasant, from the ceiling, asked me what gift I wanted. I looked up at the ceiling, just listening to him. No scared, no shocked, not even surprised. And he went through all the gifts that I could have, and I was explained what each gift meant, what I could do with it. I sat there on the back of my knees, just thought about it for a few minutes. I looked up, said, okay, I want wisdom. He said, all right, that is the gift you have. And then I felt that he went away, and I went back to play with my dolls as if nothing had even happened.
And what? How do you interpret that? What do you think that was?
I think everyone is given a choice of a gift. They might not ever know it, but some people do know it.
So you think all of us have a gift?
Yeah.
From whom?
I have no idea. I don't know who the voice was. I just know he said I had that gift, and I knew that's what it was.
Why do you think all of us have a gift?
Because it's sort of like being, it's part of us. It's part of the package that we get when we come down here.
What do you mean when we come down here? What does that mean?
Oh. Well, when we enter this here realm from wherever we come from, because we have been here around for a long time in one fashion or another.
Okay. And so you heard a voice, and the voice gave you this choice, and you were 9 years old. The voice explained to you what the various gifts were. What were some of the other gifts that you were offered?
Love, charity, riches. I mean, there's a whole slew of them.
Uh-huh.
Everything that a person... I want fame, fortune. Love stood out pretty strong. I almost picked love, but wisdom, well, I've always had a natural curiosity, and that just seemed the most appropriate.
All right. Now, let's go forward in time to the next big event that stands out in your mind.
Okay, that was not a pleasant one, because... Looked like the old man that wasn't there and the man's voice, those were nice beings, you could tell that. But the next one, it was a very bright moonlit night. I was in my bed laying down. At the end of my bed, on the left, is a large 3x3 window, no curtains. Right on the wall, at the end of my bed, is another window, 3x5, no curtains. At the end of the bed on the right is the doorway into my bedroom. Okay, it is a straight path from the outside door to my brother's door, bedroom door, and then into my room. I heard something open the front door very carefully and close it. And it did not feel right. And then I heard it walk across the living room, walk across my brother's bedroom, and I heard it walk into my bedroom. And I could feel it just standing there, and I was too scared. I was 9 years old, and little girls get scared about such stuff. And I just lay there for the longest time. Like, okay, then the curiosity got the best, and I had to look. So I sat up, and I was actually frozen in terror. It was what anyone would describe as a Bigfoot. It was hunched over because it was too tall for the ceiling. It was facing the window on the left, but his face was turned toward me. And there was such a feeling of hatred. And it's like, how dare I not do what they wanted?
What is it that they wanted you to do?
They wanted me to submit and just not learn anything. I thought I was going to be killed that night.
Now, this creature that you saw, did it communicate to you in any way?
By telepathy, yes. It was like... It hated me. It despised me. If it could kill me, it would have. It wanted me dead. If it could have torn me limb from limb, it would have.
And that's what stopped it from doing so?
That I have no earthly idea. Because when I finally couldn't, I couldn't scream. So I did a little girl did. I lay down in bed and covered my head up. Which was the only thing I could think of doing. And I heard the thing turn around, leave. Go to my brother's room, back to the living room, and close the door behind it. When I finally got my voice back, I screamed for my mother. I was hysterical. And my mom said, oh, that's a dream, go back to sleep. And here I am screaming my head off, having a fit.
Are you sure that it was not a dream?
Positive. I was wide awake, and where the moonlight was, the room was bright enough to read by. You could see every detail about it. You could see the individual hairs. You could see its eyes, the entire face.
How tall was it?
I had about a 6-foot ceiling, and it was hunched over. It was probably about 6'6". And it was big and stocky, just like a Bigfoot. It looked exactly like a Bigfoot. That's what I thought it was.
And did you notice, a lot of times when people see Bigfoot, they say they can smell a real nasty odor about it. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't. I've heard that before, but this one had no odor.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think now? It just came into the house, walked into your room, and it was just there to harass you, to scare you? Is that what you think?
I think what they do is if they can't harm you, they'll try and terrify you into submitting to what they want done. And as soon as you do that, they can do whatever they want to you. As long as you just say no and not give an inch, they have to leave you alone. They can terrify you, but they can't touch you.
That's interesting. That's the first time I've heard that. But it's also the first time I've ever spoken with someone who says they have seen one of these face-to-face. Usually it's at a distance that they see a Bigfoot. But, face-to-face, how far were you from this creature?
It was standing probably about 3 inches from the end of my bed.
So you're 9 years old, you're not too tall, you're probably 4 feet away.
Yeah, 3 to 4 feet away.
Mm-hmm. Did it make any movement toward you? Did it raise its hand? Did it make any sounds?
It didn't make any sounds. It moved around. So I was just standing in one frozen position. It moved his arms, it moved his head, it moved his body around.
Mm-hmm. Now, where were you living at the time?
Okay, this is out in Holland, Oregon.
Is this a rural area?
Yes. We used to have one store that was the grocery store, the post office, and everything else combined.
I once lived in Cache, Texas, and back when I lived in Cache, Texas, Johnson's Grocery Store was the post office, the convenience store, the gas station, the everything. That was it. So I know what you're talking about. What was the population?
Well, I don't know if you can say there was any population, because it was all ranch area.
Mm-hmm.
I had my grandparents living on their ranch next to us. We had our place. They had neighbors, and then way around the corner where there's some more neighbors. There were about 10 or 15 people.
Mm-hmm. When I lived in Cache, Texas, there were 51. And so that was just a few houses. And I bet you that this was Holland, Oregon, right?
Yeah.
I bet it looks different now.
I know.
Yeah, Cache, Texas now is kind of a bustling suburb of Greenville, Texas. But back when I was there, it was poor. Now there are some huge houses there. Things do change. And I wonder, have you heard any reports since then of anyone else having a Bigfoot come into their house?
No, we do have a lot of Bigfoot sightings around here, though.
Mm-hmm.
There was one a few years ago up at Oregon Caves, which is about 12 miles straight up the mountain from where I lived. My brother almost ran over one on a bicycle one night, and my uncle was a logger with a couple of his crew, had one run across the road in front of them up by Happy Camp. A friend of ours, they used to get aggravated at the Bigfoot because he used to run across their pastures and mess their fences up.
We have to take a break. We'll be back with more strange stories from the life of Janice Fadley right after this.
trouble's always easy to find. Before you know it, you're in trouble all the time. Well, God loves all of his children, even if you're not one in a million. I know you're not a little kid anymore, but keep the faith because you're almost ready for the law. Walk back to the beat of a new tune, but don't hold back if you're thinking it's too soon. Your bags are packed, so act like you know.
Did you know The Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcasts right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith Shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download. Welcome back. We are talking with Janice Fadley. Janice, you still live in Oregon?
Yes, I live in Grants Pass now. I've lived all over the country, basically, but always end up coming back here.
Mm-hmm. Is it true that you do not have self-service gas stations there?
Yeah, you don't. You get only the attendant can put the gas in.
How much per gallon do you pay?
$3.15, I think, right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there are some of us in the United States who don't remember what it's like to have someone put the gas in your car. I haven't seen it in years. It must be nice. Anyway, that has nothing to do with the show. I just happened to think about that. When you saw this creature in your house, what color was it?
It was very dark. It had really dark fur.
Would you say it was black in color, or would you say it was very dark brown, or what color?
It would either be a black or the darkest brown imaginable, because the moonlight was so bright, you could see all the colors of my my cupboards and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost pitch black.
There are a lot of folks who have theorized a connection between UFO activity and Bigfoot. Do you know of any UFO activity that night? Do you know of anybody saying that they saw UFOs that night?
Not that night.
There's also a theory that these are interdimensional. Now, I've got a DVD that was sent to me by Dick Criswell. It is Dick Criswell interviewing a man who lives, I don't remember what state it was in, but somewhere in the Northwest. An elderly man who says that he's dead now. He's passed away, but on the DVD, in the interview, he talks about having conversations with some Bigfoot. And he says that there is a portal
up on the mountain that they come in and out of, and that when they step through that portal, they've stepped into a whole different dimension.
Yeah.
You said, yeah, as though you have some experience with that or some knowledge of it.
Oh. I know there are portals. I know they go through them. And I know it's not safe for humans to go through them. But once they get, the portals can be cleaned out, humans can go travel back and forth between the dimensions, too.
Okay, now explain that to me. What does that mean when you say, number one, it's not safe for humans to go through them? Why? And number two, what do you mean when they, once the portals are cleaned out?
Well, it's a given that sooner or later there's been enough people know about them, and then they actually have the ability to work on getting them clear. Right now, I call them chits, for lack of a better name to call them. They're the hostiles that are the UFO occupants and all kinds of spreads. That's just, to me, they're all chits, headlights.
Okay.
And so the chits control the portals, and they're not safe. The chits are not safe.
Okay, so these are hostile beings.
Very.
Why do they control the portals instead of the good and kind beings?
For some reason, the good and kind ones cannot interfere unless they're specifically asked by a specific person in a specific way. Because I have seen a little girl being terrorized that should have been stopped if they'd come in automatically. I had to go in and do the necessary prep work so that the good beings would be aware, oh, there's a problem down here.
Well, it sounds like the good ones are just not paying attention because there's a lot of problems down here.
I know. They won't do a damn thing unless a person asks.
That's not too encouraging. That sounds like they're being lazy.
It's something to do with the rules of engagement.
All right, so these Bigfoot, according to the guy on this DVD, the ones that he talked to, were basically good people. From another world, another dimension, but basically good people and very family oriented and kept to themselves. They don't like to mix with humans. He asked if in his first meeting, I think it was his first one, he asked the Bigfoot, "Do you speak my language?" And the Bigfoot said, "We'll speak any language you want."
Yeah.
All right. Now, again, you said, yeah, like you have some understanding of that. If you do, explain it to us.
Okay. The other beings in other realms, from what I've picked up, can speak any language they want, including all the ones that have died out and that the humans don't even know anymore.
Okay, so the Bigfoot can communicate that way, but also telepathically, apparently.
Yeah.
Why don't they just communicate telepathically all the time?
Maybe they just don't feel like it.
Well, that's a good reason, I guess. They just don't want to. All right, now, let's move forward from Bigfoot to the next event, the next strange event that took place in your life. And I want to see, go ahead and tell us. I want to see if a pattern is developing from one to the other, that maybe we can see why this is happening.
Okay, I'm trying to think, because there's a lot of little things. Like, well, even today I can go to a place I call the Blue Void. It's sort of like, if people, way it's described, it's like the Akasha. You can go there and things can be created. And then, let me see, there was one really funny incident. I'm trying to go chronologically. Okay. The next incident would have been the cloud chasing us. We lived on Sand Creek, and that was a creepy place. And my husband at the time and I went for a walk in the woods. We got probably about a half mile back, because half our property was woods, and it just didn't feel good. So we started coming back, and there's a meadow, and in the meadow was a cloud. It was about a foot and a half off the ground, about 20 foot long, and about 10 feet high, and probably about 10 or 15 feet in diameter. And we looked at it, and it just didn't look right, because it just sat there. And so we started walking across the meadow, away from it, and as we walked, the cloud followed us. The faster we went, the faster the cloud went. Until my husband finally was at a dead run. He left me behind. I wanted to go explore it, because I was like, okay, it's something unusual. Find out. Investigate. Well, I thought I was going to stand there with a cloud by myself, so I said, okay, I'll turn and run too. But that thing chased us probably about a quarter mile along the road through the woods, from the meadow and through the woods.
And it was just a cloud.
Yeah, just a cloud. It was gray. I've heard of the clouds chasing other people.
What do you think this cloud was doing? I mean, it's most clouds, you know, are thousands of feet up into the air. This one is just a few feet off the ground. What do you imagine, or what do you think this cloud was doing?
It had some sort of intelligence, because it knew what it was doing, because it followed us. It wasn't any just random wandering around the meadow. It specifically followed us across the meadow and down the path.
Mm-hmm.
And the path is winding. It's almost like a road. It's wide enough to call a road.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what about your husband at the time? What did he think about that?
He was so scared. It was like he never wanted to go back in those woods again.
Well, I can imagine. I can imagine that. That's kind of weird to be chased by a cloud.
I know. If I wanted to sit and explore it, because it was just like, wow, that's unreal.
Mm-hmm.
I have an insatiable curiosity.
Now, you, with your insatiable curiosity, have you dug into books? Have you dug into doing some research to find out possibly if there's anything written about these other things?
My entire life has been research. I had one of the best occult libraries and science libraries a person could have. I had 3 reference books on every science, and for every science I had the equivalent in a paranormal book. If I knew astronomy, I had one in astrology.
Okay, we have to take a break. When we come back, we'll open up the telephone lines. Maybe you've got something you can share with us about some strange event that happened in your life. I'll open the phone lines as soon as we're back from this break.
Precious jewel to me. And in my crystal vision, she stands before me breathing, but for now I'm only dreaming.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
And we are back. The telephone lines are open. You could hear me better if I turn the mic up. The telephone lines are open, and what I would like to, you may have some questions or you may have some comments, and that's fine. But what I would like to do is hear from you as well if you have had some of these weird experiences in your life. Janice, we have a caller on the line, so let's go straight to the phone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Dick from Lebanon, Indiana.
Hey, Dick, how are you doing?
Pretty good. I heard my name mentioned earlier, and I was going to clarify a couple things, and I do have a question for your guest.
All right.
Okay. The video that you were talking about was shot in Oregon, and it was Oakland, Oregon, was where it was shot at.
All right.
And the guy's name was Stan Johnson. I wonder if she'd ever heard of his name.
Vaguely familiar.
Okay. You were talking about, the portal going through there, and Mr. Johnson told me that a human is exactly what you said, is not safe, because he said at the time metal on our body, you'd not be able to pass through there safely. Is that what you understand?
I know, yeah, metal. You can't have anything metal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. He also said that the Bigfoot was a human species, not an anthropoid.
I know there's different types of Bigfoot.
Okay. The type that Mr. Johnson was familiar with, he said, were more human. And as Kevin talked about there, he said that they kind of kept to themselves, and they were in families, and they did not like some of the traits that the humans had.
Oh, I know.
I am with them.
And so am I. So am
Same
I.
Here.
But, yeah, very interesting, very interesting.
Dick, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Do you know of any stories, any other stories, where a Bigfoot has walked into a house like this?
Oh, yeah, right here in Indiana. Matter of fact, before I started investigating Bigfoot, I ran across this lady, and matter of fact, she was on one of my radio shows, and she said that for some reason, she said this being just walked in one night, opened the door just like a how do you do, and just looked at her like, I guess I'm supposed to be here, you know. So, but she communicated with them and actually put them up in her barn for a while because they were cutting trees down, and I understand that was the big conflict there.
How did she communicate? Telepathically, or talk with them?
She said she could talk with them, and they would talk right back to her.
And what did they tell her about themselves?
They told her that they came from a different planet, and they were brought to different places as the trees began to, you know, be cut down, and like shopping malls and houses and so forth. And they love the trees. They love to stay in the trees because it's good for them. To stay kind of out of the way of a human, because a human would harm them, shoot them. She told me that that they would be picked up periodically from time to time when the trees would disappear from an area, and it would be unsafe for them to live.
And who picks them up?
She said that these ships will pick them up. Now, she had asked him what the name of the alien species was that picked them up, and she said she never could get a handle on that.
And what did they say their species name is?
I don't think she ever said that.
Mm-hmm.
As I can recall, I had a series of CDs, but audio recordings of her that, and it's been, let's see, I'm trying to think when I investigated that case. It must have been back in the, I'd say, early 90s. So it's been a while since I listened to what she had to say, and I've lost touch with her. Mm-hmm. But she still lives here in Indiana.
All right, one more thing, Dick. This account that Janice has told us about, the Bigfoot was communicating telepathically and was rather menacing. Do you know of any other Bigfoot encounters where it was menacing?
Not per me per se, but I have heard other researchers talk about that. But the cases that I investigated, I'd never heard that not mentioned from the witnesses that I had.
I've heard of it about it before with other people seeing menacing ones.
And I heard other researchers in the field talk about that, and you know that was bothersome to me.
Well, I guess they're probably like us. Some of them may be good, and some of them may be hostile.
Well, that's what I actually say about the aliens. You know, there's good and bad in every species.
I'll tell you a species that I really enjoy meeting, the bad ones, big and bad. That's bass.
Okay.
Yeah, I love to come face to face with big bad bass.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Dick, thanks for the call.
Hi, you're quite welcome.
All right.
Enjoyable tonight.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right. Bye. Now, folks, Janice is not, she doesn't, you know, she's not producing videos, she's not out on the lecture circuit. She's just a person like you who has had some strange things happen in her life. You have, perhaps, and we'd love to hear from you as well. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hello, Kevin. Yes, it's Kevin from Iroquois Falls.
Hello, Kevin.
Yes, and hello, Janice. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing, love?
I'm doing all right. I got a question for you, Janice. And, Kevin, I just got to say, I've been really looking into what I talked about last night there.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a little bit more going on than just a lot of UFO sightings in the last 6 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be looking into it there. I've been talking with a few people. There seems to be a lot more going on, but I'll get to that at another time.
Yeah, Thursday night we're doing Open Line, and this is a good time for me to just mention this. For all you folks, especially in Florida and on the East Coast, but not only you, you saw all those UFOs and then the lights went out. We want to hear from you on Thursday night. It'll be Open Line, and that'll be a good time to hear from you on that, Kevin.
Yeah, just to let you know, also, yesterday, the power went out here, too, for a short period of time as well, just another thing. And, Janice, my question for you is, out of all your experiences, have you ever gotten any information on 2012 Nibiru or the Anunnaki? I'll take your answer off the air. Thanks. I'll talk to you later, Kev.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Okay, well, he was talking about unusual stuff. I've been picking up a lot of unusual stuff in the past few weeks, and so has my son. If there's something not quite right, there's something different.
Just sort of blowing in the wind?
It's kind of. It's like that. There's the UFO activity just isn't right.
So what do you think's up?
I don't know. I asked my MUFON director, and he didn't know. It's just something's up.
Yeah. What about, have you run into any information, have you gotten any information in all of your strange encounters about the year 2012?
Everyone says that's the year that everything goes haywire, but from my calculations, it's going to be a lot sooner.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard about the, what did he call them?
The Anunnaki?
Yeah. I've heard about those things, too.
Yeah? What did you hear?
I'm trying to remember. I have so much stuff in my head.
Yeah,
it was not good, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go back to the telephone and caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Michelle from Quebec.
Yes, Michelle.
Good evening, Kevin.
Good evening.
Good evening, Janice.
Good morning. Good evening.
Kevin, good show.
Thank you.
Can I go back to the guy in the bookstore?
Sure.
My question is, what color was his eyes, if she remembers?
They're blue or gray.
Blue or gray. Good. Okay. When you went back to the bookstore, or when you were at the bookstore, when you were talking to this fella, was it like everything else around you didn't exist, and when you went back the second day, could you notice anything else that might have changed? A shelf, a book that wasn't in the same place as it was the day before?
Everything felt totally normal both days.
Felt totally normal. I thought she might have been into another dimension.
Well, I thought so too. And, I considered that possibility, and that's why I was asking if she noticed any time missing or anything like that, but apparently not.
No, it sounded like she might be having that gene there where she's one of the people that gets lots of contact.
It could be.
She makes me think a bit like the story of Tesla. Tesla.
Uh-huh.
And does she know any... She worked at a power plant?
Yeah.
Yeah, does she know... She ever heard of the woodpecker signal?
The woodpecker signal, no.
Well, this is Tesla's signal.
Tesla? Yeah.
Tesla was for high voltage, right?
Yeah.
And they got three places in Russia. They got three towers that send out this signal. And if you do CB radio... They call it the woodpecker signal, and it's every 10 times every second or something, it signals. It sounds just like a woodpecker. And I know other countries were giving Russia all kinds of trouble because they're sending out the signal completely, and it says it controls people's minds. I didn't know if you ever heard of it, because it had to do with electricity.
I had never heard of that term.
Well, if you look up on, just Google it, and you'll see woodpecker, and they'll explain more of it, the woodpecker signal.
And don't worry, I will.
And the only story I could think of what was his name there? Oh, I can't remember the guy's name. I'll let somebody else phone in. But I heard one other case where they kept getting contacts, and they were even had what they called people that helped them, and it kind of pushed them through their careers.
Hmm.
But that was, he said he had alien contact since he was a child. And they were always pushing him, to his career to get him. And he ended up in NASA anyway.
Cool.
So I just heard a couple stories like that. Anyway, I'm sorry, Kevin, I didn't get much to you today. It was a big day in Canada. We had the last day for the hockey trade. So it took me all day on.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome, Kevin.
All right. I'd forgotten about that, the woodpecker signal. It is supposed to be some type of mind control technology. I don't know that to be a fact, but I do know it's a fact that is one of the theories about it. And it's just a very strange signal. It does sound like a woodpecker on the side of a tree. And... if you listen to it, you don't get anything intelligible out of it. So I don't know. It's strange.
sounds can have an effect.
Well, yes, they can. The repeated sound, repeated at regular intervals, over and over, can be hypnotizing. It can cause your mind to wander or to focus, depending on its frequency. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Gary from New York.
Hi, Gary.
I've got a comment about last night's show. I just felt it was like very Orson Welles-like for a few minutes there. Would you agree?
Well, you know, every time I have Dick Criswell on the show, sooner or later, some point in the show, he knocks one out of the ballpark. But what did you mean by Orson Welles like?
Well, when the call came in about the live UFO.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty exciting, wasn't it?
It sure was.
Yeah.
And I'd like to say good evening, Janice.
Good evening.
Janice, I'd like to know, do you think it might have been some kind of divine intervention in the bookstore to put you on your life path, as it were? And I'm going to hang up and listen for your response.
Thanks for the call, Gary.
You're welcome.
The only thing I know is there's a group that works with me that make sure everything I need to learn is put in front of me. I've had books come in the mail that I have not ordered. I mean, it's nonstop.
When you say a group, what are we talking about? A group of what or whom?
There's some animals that I, totems, spirits I work with, and then there's different beings that talk to me. I go to dream time, and there's beings there that talk. Mm-hmm. And then I know stuff. Like, things are just put straight into my mind. And there's like a whole group that works with me.
Do you do astral travel? Or soul travel?
I just go to Dreamtime. I can go there. But I don't know. My son's one that does astral projection.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I ask that is because we've had folks on the show who have told us that that they do astral travel, or some people call it soul travel, and that they actually see these other beings and talk with them. And I would think, I've never experienced that. I would think that might be a little bit frightening, but at the same time, pretty cool too. Let's go back to the phone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. John in North Carolina. Hi, Janice.
Hello.
Janice, I was wondering about your walk into the bookstore again. Do you remember the names of the books the old man picked out for you?
Names of the books that I could buy. I had The Kybalion, the Franz Barden books, Blavatsky, Light of Egypt. I had The Book of Tokens and the Tarot book by Paul Foster Case, and a few more that I don't remember.
That's the only point I was making. I'm not familiar with those books, but if you could expand on them a little bit and give us a little bit of understanding of what those books were about, I'd appreciate it. And see you, Kevin.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Okay. They were all about hermetics, which is the as above, so below.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no such thing as chance. And the seven rules, laws that the universe is run on. So once you understand those, you can basically do whatever you want with the universe. And that's the gift of all the books that I got, was how to communicate with the universe and everything in it.
You know, I would think, you know, if somebody were to just walk into a room where this show is playing or if they're in their automobile and they happen to turn their radio on and they're hearing this show, I'm just sort of speculating. I would think if they, you know, just right now they turn it on and they listen to 10 minutes of it, they would think that both you and I are off our rockers. But, what they need to understand is we're just plain, ordinary people like anybody else, and you have had these experiences happening to you all of your life, and you have also been very successful in your career. And so you're very much a got-your-feet-on-the-ground kind of person, and you've been very successful. You know, one of the things that's interesting to me is that you've been very successful in a career that is, even today, primarily male-dominated.
Oh, I know. When I started working at a power plant, talk about harassment. And they finally ended up respecting me, and that was amazing.
So you're not a flighty, strange, kind of a flash-in-the-pan, fly-by-night kind of person. You've really produced well in your career.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring that up is, first of all, people need to understand that just because strange things happen to someone does not mean that person is strange. Secondly, I think it's important for people to understand that these kinds of things happen, strange, weird, paranormal things happen to people in every sort of job, every sort of career, every field of work. There are people who are having these strange experiences. Now, out there listening right now are many of those people. And I would like to encourage you to call in and talk with us and share with us a little bit of your experience. Tell us what happened to you. We'd love to hear it.
It's very common. And once people realize that and it's not, you don't feel like an isolated freak, because that's not right. Because it's just something that's very commonplace, and it should be treated like it's commonplace. Just like going to the grocery store.
Yeah, it's more, well, it's not quite as common as going in the grocery store, I don't think, but it is more common than people think.
I know, but the thing is, though, if people get to the mindset, it's just the same thing as going to the store, there won't be any freaking out, no fright, no nothing.
Yeah, you know, the reason we think it is not common is because people won't talk about it. They go silent, and they think, I must have been losing my mind, and I don't want to get locked up and put into one of those little jackets, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Well, nobody's going to lock you up and put you in a little jacket just because some weird something happened in your life. It happens, you know, there are psychiatrists who have had paranormal experiences. There are presidents who have had paranormal experiences. Did you know that several of the presidents and several of the people who have served on White House staffs have reported seeing ghosts in the White House?
Oh, yeah, that's an old one.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, that goes all the way to the White House, you know. That's a weird paranormal experience. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Atlanta.
Hi, Trey.
Hey, look, I wanted to mention, Kevin, on the episode of The Universe tonight on the History Channel, they mentioned our twin star, and they actually called it tonight a red dwarf, and it was the first time I'd heard it called a red dwarf, because in that diagram we talked about the other night that had that in our 10th planet, it said a brown dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyways, they're now, I don't know if they're correcting themselves and saying, okay, we studied it, we've got a better look at it, and we're concluding it's a red dwarf. You know, I don't know about that, but it was It was something new I hadn't heard. And I wanted to ask your guest, have you, do you ever remember being in a waiting room that had either other humans and then somebody else following them around, each human having somebody with them, follow them around? And lots of times the humans will be running around a hallway frantically, opening doors, looking like they're trying to figure out, you know, where they were and how they got there. You ever seen anything like that?
No, I remember going to a school, but I don't have any real memories of it. When I go to sleep, sometimes we go away and we're taught. When we come back, we're exhausted.
You find yourself wake up dehydrated?
No, waking up exhausted.
Okay, but never dehydrated. Never thirsty.
I don't remember.
Okay.
I'm always thirsty.
Trey, thank you so much for
right.
the call. We're headed into a break here, and I've got to run. Oh, man. Well, when we come back from this break, you mentioned going to a school. I want to talk with you a little bit about that because, again, you're not the first person that has talked about that on this show. We've had other guests who have talked about that they are taken to school. And so I want to talk a little bit about that when we come back from the break. We have a caller on hold. Caller, let me ask you, are you willing to stay on hold through the break?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, you stay right there on hold. You won't hear anything during the break, but stay right there. We haven't forgotten you, and as soon as we come back from the break, we will go to this call. But I want to talk about that school when we come back as well. I want to know more about what's that all about. We'll be back right after this.
Better angels. get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
We are back, and by the way, before we go to the phone line and return also to our guest, let me remind you that this Saturday night, all right, first Saturday in March, this Saturday night, I will be in the chat room hanging around and chatting, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. I'll be there beginning at the same time that you tune into this show, Monday through Friday. So depending on whatever time zone you're in, at the same time that you tune into this show, that's when I'm in the chat room, all right? So I hope to see you there, and we had a good time last time. I hope we have a great time this time as well. I look forward to it. All right, let's go back to our guest and our caller. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
My name is Mark from Brooklyn, New York.
Okay, Mark, what's on your mind?
Okay. Well, I'd like to talk about something very strange that happened to me about maybe 7-8 years ago.
All right.
Here in the Brooklyn area, Brooklyn, New York area. I was about 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening. I was walking down a major boulevard in Brooklyn called Linden Boulevard, and I reached the intersection of Linden Boulevard and Rockaway Avenue. It's a very big, major intersection in Brooklyn. And there's a major hospital there called Brookdale Hospital. And when I got to the intersection, there was a car accident right in front of me, right next to me. And it startled me. And when I looked toward the direction of the accident, I looked further up into the sky. And my attention was immediately drawn from this car accident. And I seen a very, very huge elliptical-shaped object, a greenish-yellow, or yellowish-green or whatever. But it was huge, and it wasn't way up in the sky. It was blocks, many, many blocks down. But you can tell from the distance I was that it was very, very big. And it was flying very low, like building level. Not too far above the buildings, and I totally just forgot about the accident, and I was so excited. I started running down the block, trying to catch this thing, trying to see this thing, and I asked a couple of people, did they see it? Because you know, in the city, you know, there's a very short window of time when something is flying low. Because if it's going from one side of the street to the other side of the street, you have a very short window of time to see it before it hides behind the building. So,
right.
I was ecstatic, and I just ran down the block, and this thing was huge. It was very flying very slowly, almost like the speed of a blimp, but it was way too huge to be a blimp. It was the strangest thing I ever seen, and. I asked a couple of people if they saw it. They didn't see it, you know. And a couple of years later, I spoke to my nephew about it, and he brought something to my attention I didn't even think about, that maybe the accident that I had seen was due to the fact that the people in the cars might have seen the same thing that I saw. And they were distracted, and maybe that's why they had the car accident in the first place.
Yeah, that's what came to my mind as you were telling us about it.
Yeah, but you know, that never even entered my mind until like 2 years later. I mentioned it to my nephew, and he brought that to my attention.
If you had been driving a car at the time you saw this, do you think you would have maintained control of the car?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know, though. I think so.
I know of an incident, personally, where a cop that I know and worked with
was looking at a UFO that was, according to what they said, and you've probably heard the recording that I've played of this, but according to what they said, it was at treetop level, just above the trees. And he was watching it, and this is a police officer who enforces traffic laws, and he was so enamored watching this thing go over him that he ran off the road, ran over a curb and up into a yard in a patrol car.
Yeah.
It has, these things have a different effect on different folks. And, you know, we all think we know how we will respond. And the fact is, you don't really know.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the story I wanted to share.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, there you go, Janice. There's, you know, from New York City. You know, actually from Brooklyn, New York, but a big city. And yours happened, your strange experiences happened out in a rural area originally. But, you know, it happens in the city as well. And
The old man in the book, so that was downtown San Francisco.
Well, there you go. And that's a big city. Downtown San Francisco is a very big city. And so it happens to all kinds of folks. It happens in all kinds of places. Weird, weird stuff. Folks, the telephone number is 1-800-289-1092. And we have tried to make the website a lot easier to read and to navigate. The telephone number to call is located twice on our page. So if you... if you forget the number, just go to kevinsmithshow.com. You'll see the telephone number there. It is toll-free throughout North America. That includes Canada. And it is not toll-free if you're outside of North America. It does work, but it isn't toll-free unless you're in North America. So if you're outside of North America, you can send me an email. Send me a flash message. Send it to... flash@kevinsmithshow.com, and I'll read it on the air, and we'll get Janice to comment on it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
This is Tony from Oklahoma.
Yes, Tony.
How are you, Janice?
Fine. How are you doing?
Good. I have a pretty weird story, I think, for you.
All right.
Back about probably 1968-ish, I was working for a department store, and I worked in the stock room, and a truck driver came in one day, and I helped him unload his truck and all that, and he wanted to know where to go to get paid. So I let him out of the door from the stock room into the store. And this was at the back of the store, in front of aisles of clothing racks, like slacks and shirts and stuff like that. And there's a long aisle that goes the length of the back of the store. And at the far end of this aisle, there's a full-length mirror. And about halfway between the stockroom doors and the mirror is a big opening, and I told him, you just walk straight ahead down here, and when you get about halfway down, you look to your right and you'll see a large opening. You just go in there and go to one of the girls, and they'll take care of you. So I watched him as I had nothing to do, so I just stood there and I was watching him as he walked towards the customer service area, and I could see both him in real life and his reflection in the mirror at the same exact time. And he was walking in real life, and in the mirror, he was running.
Now, that's just, that is totally weird. Janice, have you ever heard of anything like that one?
Not running, but I've heard of the mirror world is, they can travel through the mirrors in and out, and he might have been, I don't know, what.
That's got me baffled.
It sure had me baffled, because I just could not believe what I was saying. Here's the guy, you know, about 25 feet in front of me, walking, and the mirror's about another 20 feet in front of him, and he's running in the mirror and walking in life.
It could have been his other self.
You know, maybe what you were seeing in the mirror was his emotional state. You know, maybe he was running to get the money.
Yeah. I heard somebody told me that maybe it was a dimensional doorway, the mirror, and I was seeing another dimension.
All mirrors are dimensional doorways.
Are they really?
Yeah.
That's a little scary to think about.
Yeah, I don't have any mirrors in my room, and I've been accused of being a vampire because of that. I have no mirrors around me. And the reason I have no mirrors is I know what I look like, all right?
Exactly.
All right? Exactly. Hey, thank you for the call. Very strange story. All right, folks, 1-800-289-1092. We have to take another break, and when we come back from this break, I want to jump into the school thing a little bit, but we'll take your calls, all right? Don't go away. We will be back.
The way we used to dance.
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And Janice, let's go right straight back to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Yes, Bob.
Hey, I had a question for Janice.
All right.
I was wondering if you thought it was possible that when people witness certain things that are paranormal and they can see certain things that are paranormal, if it's possible that it might be biochemical in nature within the changes of your brain, but possibly induced by an outside undead, so to speak, force. So, like, when a doctor says, oh, the person must be crazy, there's no way he could have seen that. He hallucinated. His own brain made it up. Well, maybe we do go through some biochemical reactions within the brain, and so we do see certain images, but maybe it's a possibility that these were directly related to what was trying to manifest itself from the other side, so we can represent it in our minds on a human nature.
Some things, yes, some things, no. Like the old man that was there... there's too much physical about it. There's too much documentation. We have the receipts, the checkbook, and witness. But there are a lot of people that...
That makes sense on that account. I was just curious what you thought about the whole realm of the paranormal. I'll hang up. Thanks.
Thanks for the call. What do you think, Janice?
There's all sorts of things. There are people... that have problems with the chemicals in their brain, but most of the stuff that's paranormal, it's real.
Yeah, that is true. There are people, for instance, who hear voices due to a hormone imbalance or a mineral deficiency, and whenever they are given these things that they are deficient of, the voices go away. But then there are people who are healthy, normal, psychologically and physically, who have things happen. Now, let me just say that Nick Begich, Dr. Begich, has written some books and he lectures on technology that he says is in existence and is has been tested where they can actually transmit voices right into your head and you hear them as if they were audible to everyone. If we have the technology to make that happen, I certainly don't think it makes sense to say that everyone who hears voices is nuts. We can do it, you know. We have the technology to do it. So if we do, why would not beings from somewhere else have that ability?
Like me when I was a little girl, that was a man's voice. And then a while later, when I was in my 30s, I was asking how I'm doing, and a man's voice said I was doing fine.
Well, there you go. We have a flash message from Australia. And from Carl in Perth. And I think he's in Perth. Let me see. Yes, that's correct. And he says, I wonder if the nice man in the bookstore ran the place in a parallel universe. I never saw Bigfoot in my room, but there were Padfoots. I used to be terrified and listen intently. Alas, they were nothing like the so-called Greys. I have forever... Let's see, I have forever after been left feeling like they decided to leave me alone because I demanded that they go away. So as evil as they felt, they did seem to respect my choice. Were they truly evil, or was it just me being terrified? I think maybe it was the latter.
Since then, life has been replete with unusual events. I think we get glimpses of things that we might understand one day, but these glimpses are frustratingly random at the moment. I am a psychologist and a psychiatric nurse, so I have to dance on a very fine line. When I have deliberately tried to read minds in an experimental setting, it doesn't work. When I have relaxed and forgotten about reading minds, amazing coincidences occur. When I've been riding home on a bus thinking about home, Mom saw me there. When I was in peril and deliberately thought of home, nothing happened. Very frustrating. But there is a feeling that something is there, dancing in the shadows. I think that that feeling of something is reflected in Janice. So there you have a psychologist.
Yeah, okay. When you say no and you mean it, they have to leave you alone, period. That's one thing most people don't realize.
So people who are being abducted could just say no?
They have to mean it with every foul word they can think of so that the alien gets the idea, okay, this guy means business, we have to leave him alone. That's the rules of engagement. Because they have rules that they have to live by, and that's one of the main ones. They can get away with anything as long as people think they can.
Wow. So it's within the power of the person being abducted to not be abducted if they can collect their thoughts enough.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to what Carl means by padfoots. And we're not going to have a chance to get into going to school because we're going to run out of time. But have you ever heard of that before, padfoots?
The name is familiar.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've not run across that before, and I thought I had run across just about everything. But again, one of the things that is interesting to me here is, you know, this flash message proves what I was saying, that this sort of strange stuff, paranormal things, happens to every class and to every level and to every field of work and career. And here's a psychologist. And,
yeah.
You know, and certainly just because strange things happen to you, and I hope folks go away from this, and I hope you go away from this, with a real strong understanding that just because strange things happen to us, that doesn't mean we're strange.
No, it's just part of the natural existence.
Mm-hmm.
People just have to admit that it's part of it, and then it's okay, well, that's just what happens. I say no, they leave me alone.
Have you ever had an automobile accident, Janice?
Yeah.
Have you ever had one where someone ran into you?
Yeah, all of them.
Okay. Now, does that mean you're a bad driver, or they are?
Not me.
Just because you got involved in an automobile accident does not mean you were the bad driver. And just because we have strange things that happen to us in our lives does not mean we are strange. Those things come to us. And like you said, it's pretty common. It's pretty common. It happens more often than we know because people won't talk about it, and they should.
And a lot of things that happen that are not bad, that's actually a privilege, not something to be ashamed of.
Yeah, you're right. Well, it's been a privilege to talk with you this evening. And have you ever been on a radio show before?
No.
This is your first time, huh?
Yeah.
You did well.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that because I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, well, you know, some people are so nervous that they just clam up and can't talk. But you did well. And I hope that everyone can hear that you're just... Well, nobody can hear with that music going. I hope everyone can hear that you're just sincere and just sharing with us these experiences. Janice, if you will, stay on the line with me a moment. I want to talk with you, and I have to tend to some business here and close out the show. But thanks again for being with us.
Okay, I'll hang on.
All right, folks, that's it. We're out of time, and it's been very interesting and enlightening, has it not? We've got more great guests and great shows coming your way this week. Don't forget that I will be in the chat room Saturday night. I hope you'll be there. We will have a wonderful time, but we can only have that wonderful time if you're there too, okay? So it's in the members area in the chat room, and I look forward to seeing you there. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.